It's time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And right now in our studio, we have none other than Cynthia Hauswander.
Hello.
Who came in very, very urgent, very, you know, yoo-hoo!
Traffic is so, appropriately, everybody's driving very slowly today.
Yes.
And Mr. Wilburn is back with us again as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Yeah, this is the type of thing, and you give the road crew a, that it's slush for a while. And there was only one section of road that was perfect, and it was from Salisbury to Lakeville. And I think it's because they did Smith Hill first. So basically from Smith Hill to Lakeville, it was like
that's just treacherous.
Like it didn't do anything. No, it was beautiful.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a treacherous hill.
Yeah,
if it's
but
not.
Then I turned off on 41 into Sharon. And,
oh, my God.
But they were out there working.
Right? And we are grateful. This is also just when this unsubstantiated mystery substance. Ugh.
Yeah.
And let's bring in our mystery guest. sign in, please.
All right.
Here's Janet Manko. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And you didn't have to brave the roads yet or the weather.
Exactly.
The worst part is it took me literally 20 minutes to get into my car and defrost it because it had 2.5 inches of snow and it had that thick ice on it.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I didn't take it off the roof, so I hope it's off the roof. That's the great thing about coming into work at 3:30, 4 o'clock. The police can't get you for driving with snow on your roof.
See, now they'll be on the lookout.
Now they will.
Now they'll look for it. That's right. All right. Let us go to the front page. And, you know, this story.
So let me jump in for just a second and say I was out of town last week and had a great vacation. And Alexander put together the whole paper and did a beautiful job. And I would say this is one of the most exciting front pages we've had. And so he'll be talking about it. And I'm just here to poke my nose in occasionally.
I just think that the front page has gone to the dogs, if you know what I mean. But we'll get to that.
True.
We'll get that in a moment. This goes along with going to the dogs. If the state really thinks that Region 1 is going to merge with another region, it's going to be like a civil war. Shaw covered it perfectly. Harsh reaction to proposed school consolidation plan.
He did. The Northwest Hills Council of Government, which brings all the first selectmen together, met on Valentine's Day, and Shaw said that Harsh was actually a understatement to the reaction of the proposed plan to consolidate schools that have less than 40,000 students, which up here is an unimaginable amount.
All right, now take the crowd that showed up a couple of weeks ago for the Lime Rock meeting in Falls Village. Take that crowd, and if the state decides to mix Region 1 with another region, take that crowd, take it by six towns, and you're going to have that.
Yeah. That's right.
These towns are very, very protective of their schools. They'll be very, very protective of their region. They just will. You know, it's an honor to be named Region 1, not Region 1 plus Region 7 or something like that.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, and Region 1 had the foresight back in 1939 to realize that, you know, they needed more critical mass than they had in the individual schools in these small towns, and they did form a region that covers a wide geographic area.
It's a wide geographic area in itself, and some people say because, you know, Kent is so far away from the high school that's wide, but I just can't imagine having a superintendent cover a district that's going to have Region 1 and another region in it.
Right.
Just the amount of road travel, because if it's 2 hours to get from Kent to the high school, and the superintendent actually has to drive to the Board of Ed meetings in all these different towns, it's a lot of road to cover.
It's going to be interesting to see how that it works out. Now, let's go to the dogs, from Westminster to taking care of dogs.
So over on the left, we have a story about Gary Copel, who's a North Canaan resident, and his Russell Terrier, Roger, who went to Westminster. Gary has been showing dogs for 20 years, but this was Roger the Dog's second Westminster show. And this is a story written by our former intern, Cordelia Schiller, who has come back and is doing some freelance writing for us.
I love the picture of the way the dog's looking at the camera.
But they both look the same way, right?
The dog is so camera aware. It's amazing.
Yeah. Look at that picture.
We have a second dog photo on here, too,
yes.
Because I didn't want to break them up. I felt like they should be together.
And they're looking at each other, too, so that was well done.
And this is about Berkshire Barks and Purr, which is actually a mobile vet care that provides home medical treatment to pets at home in New York City's CT. Massachusetts. So an alternative care for people who can't travel.
I hope Deb got a chance to see the mobile veterinary clinic that she has put together. I've seen it. And when she first described it to me in an interview, I said, well, that sounds impressive. But when you actually see the money that she has invested in this mobile veterinary thing, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So that's an interesting story because mobile vets are getting more and more in this area.
And I thought it was interesting. She made a point of saying, I don't see that many cats because I think it's hard to get cats in the car, like even harder than dogs. So that was her thing. It's like, if you've got three cats, I'll come to your house and I can see all three cats.
Do you know what I found really interesting is someone called here when we interviewed her and they had an issue with their cat and they got in touch with her and then they decided not to have her come. And it was so interesting only because the cat definitely needed care.
Yeah.
And it was going to happen. So it's just, it makes life a lot easier if you are...
if you let the vet come to you with your cats.
Yeah, you don't have to hurt them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So now we've got to stay with the animal vein because I interviewed Tim just a few minutes ago about... an event that is coming up at Housatonic tomorrow on the return of the mountain lions to the east.
Sue Morse, who's a venerated animal tracker, is going to be talking about mountain lions tomorrow at Housatonic at 7. This is a really detailed story, but correct me if I'm wrong, there's an even more detailed story for subscribers. And go to our website at tricornernews.com and read even more about the science of mountain lions.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I talked with Tim for, I thought it was going to be like a 5-minute interview. When we talked for about 18, 19 minutes this morning about mountain lions and how, you know, folks, within the next 10 years, you're going to have to learn how to live with a very aggressive animal, basically probably within the next 10, 15 years. All right. Now you've got the story time where the read aloud program.
So Read Aloud Day was delayed for one day. It was supposed to be on Wednesday, the February 13th, but we had all that snow. But it went off without a hitch on Valentine's Day. Read Aloud Day invites community members to come in and read illustrated stories to elementary school classes. These are all books provided by the Northwest Connecticut Chamber of Commerce. And this year's theme was really about diversity and scientific invention and pursuit.
All right, right below all that, Patrick Sullivan has an interesting story on a book that has been written locally.
Yeah, it's by Jeffrey Brown, who has a new book called Layfield Crucifix, A Religious War in 19th Century Connecticut. I love this story. There's a lot being written about it. We had something in Compass last week, but I think this is one of the most fascinating pieces of local history to come to spotlight in a long time. And I'm not going to spoil anything. I think people should just dive in and read it.
All right, I want to move Janet to you on page A2 because you have a little corner box explaining the Leon Graham episode.
That's that's right. Readers might remember that on January 10th, we published in the same area a piece that talked about plagiarism that we discovered in one of our former writers, Leon Graham's movie reviews, the one for Roma, that had published in the January 3rd issue. So we revealed that it was taken from the New Yorker and Anthony Lane review, and I spoke to them. I you know, could not have been more apologetic as far as having had this happen. And we promised at that time that we would investigate further. And I'll let the readers read it, but we did find more instances of picking up unique wording from other publications. So do read that. And again, we apologize to our readers.
All right. Move on to a story about the Little Guild, where they're looking for more room to grow and have a better facility. And they're going to be looking for people to help them do that. Lila Hawkins got that story.
Yeah, the Little Guild Animal Shelter is looking to expand their acreage. They're hoping to do it in Cornwall, but they're not sure yet. There's not a definite plan. But this will provide more shelter for dogs and cats as they look for permanent homes. But there's no definite plan in place, and they're going to see if this is going to be a purchase or something that comes through donations.
By the way, they do have finally, after a series of very good director in not, I'm not talking on board, I'm talking hands-on director in Abigail. She's doing a real good job there. All right, we will take, by the way, there's a student recital coming up at Salisbury Central School, at Salisbury Congregational Church at 3 o'clock on the 24th.
Morning. That's on Sunday. We've given them a lot of good coverage in the past, and Patrick Sullivan will be there on Sunday.
And this is so cool that the Housatonic Valley Regional High School Theater Society will be doing Michael Berkeley's Rip Van Winkle's play.
It's an original musical that he wrote for the Housatonic Theater Society. Amber Cameron is doing the choreography, and it opens March 14th.
And we apologize that we said it was Jake Shakeshaft. It's Joshua Shakeshaft who's playing Rip.
All right. Shaw has a story on the budget likely being flat for
Winsted. Yeah, the superintendent of schools said she's proposing a school district to be funded on $19,000, which is the same as last year.
More pictures of the Read Aloud Day, but also South Kent has a brand new leader there.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence Smith, he's been serving as the interim head of school, and he's now going to take over the position full time. We are looking forward to sitting down with him in the future, and we're going to have a more in-depth profile in a future issue.
I think that page A4 is interesting because I think accordions and olive oil go together.
And Leela Hawken does too. She wrote both these stories. Paul Ramuni spoke to Gear about the history of the accordion and his own personal history with the instrument. And then over at the Sharon Library of Hotchkiss Library of Sharon, she went to an oil tasting and she learned the difference between early and late harvest oils. And when to use what, and sampled a bunch of imported products.
And then Pat's got a story, Patrick, on finding the nooks and crannies of every town, kind of like, you know, the nooks and crannies in the English muffin.
Cooks and nannies.
I think Leela actually had a story about this, too, in a previous issue, but this is a book about the Connecticut 169 Club, which travels to all of the towns in our state. The book details all these different towns, all the travels you can go on. And it was contributed by a bunch of different writers, including Lou Cherry, who wrote Salisbury's edition.
All right. Now, this is an interesting story. There's plans, pretty large plans, actually, for Salisbury's sewer system.
Yeah, Don Mayland laid out, it's a three-part plan that's going to be starting up this summer. And it includes a new pump station, Salmon Kill Road, and a bunch of other things, but it's for the best, really.
All right, and in Sharon, a remodel for the playgrounds. And, you know, it used to be that you used to think playground remodeling was, But, you know, really, if you're going to keep it safe and contemporary for children, now it's something that should be budgeted, especially if it's on a school, because safety regulations, everything changed now. So there's a playground remodel in consideration for Sharon.
It's a consideration, but it's a hefty consideration considering equipment is going to be $25,000 and installation is going to be $18,000.
It's you know, nothing is inexpensive anymore. Nothing. That's the amazing part when it happens. But if you want to keep your kids safe and have a playground, that's the way to do it. Town manager in Winsted got high marks, which is always good.
Yeah, Winsted town manager Robert Geiger got universal praise with mention towards his ability to balance a budget, speaking of money.
You know, I always thought riding around Route 7 years ago that the guardrails that were up were put up 10 years before I was born, and I'm 66. So, you know, you're looking at 70-year-old guardrails. What's going to prevent you from going into the Housatonic River? And slowly they've been replacing them with these steel ones. And now they're going to do a major portion of Route 7 between Kent and Cornwall, because they've got pretty much from Cornwall up through Lime Rock done.
Yeah, it's going up between South Kent and South River Road in Cornwall, and that starts April 1st.
And mapping out the new town archive.
This was actually an accidental story. Patrick went into town hall and then discovered this was all happening. So Falls Village Town Clerk Mary Palmer is putting together all of the maps that she's digging out from the basement, and she's going to digitize them. And these are handwritten maps that go back to 1913, if not later.
All right. So let's move on. I want to talk. The obituary page has so many people that we know. I mean, first of all, James Victory services today, as a matter of fact, that his service. But George Vincent, who I've known, Laura Hawks, I mean, wow. I look at this page and I'm absolutely stunned.
Yeah, so many losses.
So many losses of so many good people. Story about the Housatonic Valley Regional High School Mountaineers.
Housatonic's girls basketball team had an undefeated season, and on Tuesday they went on to the Berkshire League final tournament. So they're going to play Northwestern tomorrow in Winsted.
All right, we've got your editorial. Don't expect this to happen much, or could it?
Or could it? Right. I guess it's a teaser, so I shouldn't talk about what's underneath it, but I will. It's in reference to a discussion that started on Facebook and then turned into an open meeting with Maria Horn, our 64th district representative. And it focused on Lime Rock Park and the litigation that is surrounding it and where it should go from here. And it is probably the best outcome that can come from a Facebook discussion that sort of had lots of misinformation in it in between good comments and, you know, could be very confusing if that was the only thing you knew about an issue. But this meeting really did pull together lots of people, standing room only at the Falls Village Emergency Center, and lots of discussion. So that's the best you can hope for from that, and we hope that that sort of thing continues.
All right, and lots of letters. One of them, by the way, a nice letter praising Patrick Sullivan's story, but reminding that there's two public events, not six, that that they are proposing. A letter from Skip Barber, but lots of other great letters, whether it's about SWASA, the 64th District, the library, and of course, Stivey Burns, with a fairly long letter about what's going on with the racetrack.
Well, that's actually a very interesting letter in that it's a timeline, and it really does break it down. And so if people read the story last week about that meeting, read this editorial, and thought, what the heck is going on? Stivey and other members of the Steering Committee for the Lime Rock Citizens Council does lay out in pretty short form what the process has been. And, of course, you know, they have opinions, and they, you know, are not for Sunday racing, et cetera. But so they get into that a little bit. But it's a very good timeline, and it's eight people from that committee who wrote that letter together. So that's pretty good cooperation.
All right, and once again, Peter Steiner does it again. In case of emergency, build wall. I mean, with a little shovel.
I mean, right, yeah. Whatever you expect to see on the wall in case of emergency, that wasn't it. But yes, he does. He does get those visuals just right. We just love having him draw for us.
And Carol Asher, right there with a on reflection column.
Right, and this actually, you know, Peter and Carol did not coordinate, but they were thinking of the same things this week. And so Carol Asher writes about the realities of being an undocumented immigrant today in the USA. So it's fascinating. Do take a read and think about this important issue. Dick Ollis writes about the Democratic candidates who are entering the presidential election and that there are some centrists in the group. So take a look at that.
All right, then you've got a nice FFA page because, of course, FFA celebrated not only at Housatonic, but over in Pine Plains. And Housatonic really has one of the most amazing FFA programs, probably within a 100-mile radius.
That's for sure. And, you know, Cynthia knows a lot about this, too, and, of course, took several of these photos and put together this piece with the FFA reporter at Housie, Justine Allen. So thanks to her for writing for us on this as well. And
very interesting little ad down in the corner about FFA students being harassed, which was not something I had really thought about.
Right. What can you say? And that program, losing the two mainstays at Housatonic, is a blow to the program. But they've had nothing but incredible leadership since it's been around, and I'm sure that will continue. They'll replace those two. But we're going to miss what between them, like 60 or 70 yeah. years of experience between.
It's Mark Burdick and Karen Davenport, yeah. and we still have Dave Moran there, who's great. But that's yep. They all have different specialties. So I will hope that they get more large animal teachers there.
But we are very lucky to have that program at the high school. It really is an amazing program. It offers students so much more. All right, well, we've got about 4.5 minutes left, and we can go to Compass this morning.
So Anne couldn't be here, but I know she really wanted to plug the story that she wrote and worked very hard on. It's a story about Ellen Amet Redd, who was a...
Rand,
who was a relative of Henry James and was a really prolific portrait painter, including paintings of FDR and covers of Harper's Bazaar and Vogue. And her work is being shown at UConn stores.
You know, when you think about that, then I think about Bob Parker with what he does, not only as a musician but also that we have so many talented people in this area that are internationally recognized as being leaders in their field.
And of course, Alan Rand is a big Salisbury person and is an ancestor of Curtis Rand, first selectman of Salisbury, and Rosina Rand and their whole clan.
All right,
and then down below. I just want to highlight that. The Paintings and Pottery Show by Sally and Peter Petis is ending on Saturday, and Anne really wanted to get in that. This is a fantastic show, and you should really try and get out to the Cornwall Library before it closes, as well as get over to Hotchkiss this Saturday. Spanish pianist Lionel Morales will be performing with the Hotchkiss Student Orchestra to perform concertos by Chopin and Beethoven. And that's at 7 p.m.
Interviewed the chair of the music department, Fabio Witkowski. Now, folks, listen to this. This is a very rare chance. You're going to see a world-class pianist. But now, the Hotchkiss Orchestra, they brought another. It's a 52-piece orchestra. Now,
I'm so excited about this.
Your chance to see an orchestra this size in this area is... It's not going to happen again for a long time. This is really pretty amazing. And you know what's more amazing? It's free.
It's free.
Absolutely free. And it's at the Esther Eastman Music Center.
And the acoustics are sensational.
But 52-piece orchestra, folks, I'm telling you, there's nothing like the impact of the sound that's going to hit you when you go to that.
So again, what date and time is that?
That's Saturday at 7 p.m. at Hotchkiss.
Yeah. Don't miss it.
Yeah, it really is going to be amazing. Now we have Marsden Epworth, Terms of Endearment.
A fantastic performance by Shirley MacLaine, so I don't know how they're possibly going to top this, but they're going to try, and it opens tomorrow and runs for the 24th at Copeg.
Whoever wrote the headline, I like the headline. I do like that because normally a play becomes a movie, but this is when a movie becomes a play. It's a play on words, but it really is. That doesn't happen all that often.
I would say it actually does happen all the time now on Broadway. You pretty much can't go see a show
that
without
hasn't
it being based
either
on
been
a movie.
A play. Yeah, it's just they started playifying movies when it's sort of like here's something. So.
Yeah,
I've never seen
Clueless.
I've never seen Lost in Space on Broadway.
Well, they're working on that.
Just wait.
Yeah.
Opening 2020.
I'll go to that.
It's in development.
I did hear that someone actually tried to put a play, a Godzilla play with King Kong together for Broadway, but that was
another
like,
one.
That was like five years
there,
ago.
There was just an Australia. There was just King Kong open.
But not with Godzilla. But somebody actually wanted to put the two of them together on the stage, and that.
I think I've just figured out your next.
Cast.
I think you've just figured out your next project.
What's that?
Writing a play.
Writing
musical.
A play.
Godzilla and King Kong.
I could do the Godzilla part with no problem.
I wasn't casting yet. I was first. You have to write the thing.
Yeah, so I should say you should go see this play because this was a play from a movie too.
All right. Well, you know, you've got these stories and many, many more. The Lakeville Journal online is tricordernews.com. On Facebook. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, paper right here. You can pick it up. You can get it delivered to your house. You can go to the stores. And, of course, don't forget the Millerton News, which is right next door.
Yeah, which also has a great FFA piece on the Pine Plains Stissing Mountain program, which is also fantastic.
All right. Well, we want you guys to have a good week, a safe ride back, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. here on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, tricornernews.com. You can also find them on Facebook. And like we said, pick them up at the newsstands or get it home delivery.